likes to touch himself. Dracula hates the Welsh. They're the two weirdest guys near ya. So come and bask in their power for about an hour. It's Atomic Disaster Theater.
On a nigh constant basis, I am just inundated with questions and concerns about our educational system. Now, I'm not just talking about the good old US of A. I'm talking about the world at large. And people from all over the world, from all these great nations, great leaders, great teachers, great violinists, will contact me and they will say, Dave, tell me, my love, what is your problem? And I will say, too many to adequately recall at this point in time, next question, please. And then their follow-up will undoubtedly be, what's the deal with education? Now, if the pandemic has taught us anything, it's always believe everything that your superior masters tell you. Because obviously science rules. And, you know, guys in white lab coats who tell you, you know, 2 weeks is all we're going to need here of total control of your life. You know, 2 weeks, 2 years, same diff, right? Just do it. Just do what they say. That's fine. Everything will be great. Don't worry about those curious new diseases that we're going to see cropping up. But anyway, besides that, with all this Zoom learning and whatnot, it kind of got me thinking. How valuable is education, at least the way it's being done, if it can be so easily replicated via sitting in front of a fucking computer staring at a screen? I'll tell you what the difference is. Soul. The difference is soul. Now, you might expect me to say that scholastic endeavors like, oh, I don't know, middle school are archaic and useless, but I disagree. School is vital, and this is only dawning on me now at the ripe, cronkly age I'm at, because it's not about what you learn at school. It's what you learn without learning, see? And what I mean by that is people need to learn how to be people again. And part of that is socializing. Part of socializing, unfortunately, is going to a big place with a lot of people. And from time to time, getting the shit kicked out of you. Look, it is what it is. And it's not pretty. And nobody wants to do it. Let me tell you something. When I was a child and I was laying in bed, staring at the ceiling, praying after I had prayed for death, I thought, man, I'm like 10 and I got to go to school for 8 more years. How am I going to swing this? How am I going to do this? Do you know how many days 8 years is of getting up, getting ready, going to school? You know what I used to do? This isn't even a joke. Let's just say I was a curious child and I had this obsession with getting ready for school at obscene hours to the point where on more than one occasion, I would completely prepare myself for school and be wearing like my shoes in bed so that as soon as the morning came, I would be ready. Not because I wanted to go to school, mind you. I just wanted to be prepared to go to school. Or I thought that I would have to get out of bed and flee from a random drunken parental beating. One or the other. Sometimes both. But I can vividly recall laying in bed, completely ready to go, and being like, I am so on the ball. Just call me Seal, because I'm on the ball over here. All right? And I would just lay there. I would be like, I got it made. I just open my eyes and just roll out of bed. Homeroom. And that's kind of what I was doing with my life, which explains why I'm in the situation I'm in right now. But school is vital. And again, not because of what you learn. I can count on zero hands the amount of times I've used algebra. You know, I'm to the point now at 42 years old. If anything involving math comes up, I just tackle the closest person to me and everybody forgets the math problem. Like nobody cares about it. Suddenly there are other larger concerns going on in the immediate vicinity than the math problem everybody just forgot. And I think that with the internet and availability and access to porn and shit like that, I fully believe that buckle up, because this upcoming generation, hoo boy, we're going to have some hardcore problems with these freaks. And it's not going to get any better, right? Throw into that kids learning from school being I remember, like, when you're young and when you're growing up, stability is hugely important in your development. I mean, I don't know this for a fact or anything, but sounds good. Anyway, sounds good to me. And when you're a child and the world's still kind of malleable, you don't really know what's going on. You're kind of just like, okay, I think I see some kind of law and order going on here. This is okay. When you have that just shaken the fuck apart by the tornado of worldwide plague, for example, let's just throw that in there for example. And the uncertainty of it all. It's one thing when you're young, when you're a kid and you're uncertain, because you're uncertain all the time, because that's what being a kid is about. I'm uncertain now about a great deal of things happening around me. But it's even worse when you're a kid. And when you see, like, your parents and adults and people in charge, and they're uncertain too, I cannot imagine what that does to a child's sense of what is normal, right? So when you go 2 years sitting in front of a fucking computer screen, because God knows we don't do that enough as it is, throw that on top of all the other nonsense, and we have made several batches of straight up motherfucking monsters. And you heard it here first, kiddos. You wait. Wait and see, and hold on to your butts, because it's not going to be very nice. But, in the social contract of school, like being in that fish tank and the hierarchy of people, right? You got the popular kids, you got the dorks, you know, hi there, I'm Dave, I'll be your friend here in, let's just say, the lower rungs of the school. You learn about rules. You learn about social order. Now, is it a perfect social order? Of course not, because utopia doesn't exist, nor will it ever, because it never has, because Earth. Anyway, now that that's out of the way, now that we can skip that nonsense, you got to be around other people. Now, I fully believe that when you turn 18 and you graduate from high school, if you want to become Dave If you want me to embrace you and you want to join my clan and you want to sit at home and beat off all day and don't talk to anyone and live life as an island in the void of Cthulhu-like space, fine. Because that's your decision and you're an adult and you can do whatever the fuck what you want. You can do the whatever you want with yourself. I'm sorry. I'm leaving out words. I'm very excited. I'm very excited to talk to you. That's what it is. So, if that's your decision and that's what you want to do, fine. But until that point, you should be, I don't want to say forced under threat of violence, but let's just say forced under the threat of violence to go to school, to socialize, to be around. If only, like, look, I'm not saying you have to be out and about and talk to anybody. You could sit in the corner like Mankind and rock back and forth like Dave. That's how I got through school. You know, I would literally sit in my journalism class and draw and sleep the entire, to the point in class, I got to the point where teachers would not even put tests on my, they would not even put materials on my, you know, like when a teacher's walking down and she's putting test papers on everybody's desk. I don't know. Maybe they use fucking tablets now. I don't know. But back in my day, we actually used papyrus. And they would put, you know, the school priestess would put the papyrus sheets and the etching tools, you know, on the student's desk before the ritual sacrifice. And then she would just skip my desk because she knew better. Why waste the tree? I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do this. You know, oh, you must not know about me. Of course, I'm not going to do this. Anyway, that was my choice. But I went. I showed up, I saw, you don't have to participate. You just have to see. You have to say, oh, okay, because school is just training wheels for life. It's not even training wheels. School is life. Because all the fucking time, what do they tell you when you're in middle school, right? What does your teacher always tell you? Dave, put your pants on. But shortly after that, the teacher would say, well, Dave, sure, this is middle school and you can goof off and split your pants all day. But in high school, they're not going to take that stuff. And then you sit there and you're like, oh, man, high school, that's hardcore, man. They isn't Saved by the Bell about high school. Wow, that's pretty big. That's a pretty big deal. Then you get to high school and it's just the same thing. It's the same thing, different hallways, different, same thing, different locker combination. That's about it. And then your high school teacher's like, well, when you guys get to college, they're not going to take this shit. You guys can't be rampant fuck-ups in college, can you? And then you go to college, it's the same nonsense. And then your professor's like, well, when you get into the real world, they're never going to blah, 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 blah. It's just the same thing. So it's vital that you at least witness. You don't have to participate. Again, participation optional. Just be there. Just be in the fish tank. See the schools swimming around. All right. See Dave, the bottom feeder, the little catfish at the bottom, you know, the ugly bald catfish at the bottom of the tank, sucking on rocks and algae or whatever to make his living. I just go, okay, so this is life. This is life. You have popular, beautiful people, and they're at the top. And then, well, Dave. No, then there's larvae and insects and termites. Then Dave. And that is life, right? And it's so important to see that. And it's so important to be a part of that. Because now with technology and how, like, every new advancement pulls us farther and farther away from people. You know, like, I remember when I had to go to the bank. Remember when I had to go to the fucking bank and talk to, I had like a bank teller, you know? If you wanted to take money out of the bank, you'd have to go there. You have to go there and fucking get it, write stuff down on a piece of paper. You know, it was wild. It was literally the Wild West, everyone. Having to look people in the eye and talk, and then, you know, One thing leads to another, and things just slowly get eliminated. Hey, isn't that inconvenient? We don't have to do that anymore. Oh, that was from another time. We don't have to talk to anybody anymore. Well, you should. You should have to, at least for a little bit. And then when you're 18, if you want to be like me, Lord knows why you would. But if you want to turn your back on mortal society altogether and become alien man, I can teach you. But until that time, go the fuck to school, please. You need to. You really, really need to. And I want to, I know I've said this before, but I want to, because it's important. It's important. If you were to ask me, Dave, what is the most frightening thing you've ever seen in your life with your own two eyeballs? I'm going to tell you, you're not going to believe me, but I'm being 100% honest when I say, I remember years ago when my niece was like a child, not quite a baby, but close enough. I don't know how many years, I'm bad with time, and how old is my niece? 37? So I don't know, whatever. But so at the time she was a baby-ish enough. And I saw her, I watched this with my own two eyes. I saw her unlock an iPad. And I wanted to call the police. It was mortifying. Just the natural ease. Like already, huh? At such a young age. To have it be like this instinctual, like, oh, let me reach over, grab the iPad, put in the little code thing. Like she had a code. She knew the code. She was putting in codes to open iPads and she picked her little cartoon or whatever. And I just stared. And that's when I knew all was lost. And that was really, really, really horrifying. And it's probably way worse than that now. And it makes it even more important that social learning takes place. Because dealing with Dave is taxing enough on government resources. Now imagine if I didn't even have the social interaction that I did, which I really didn't, but did, kind of, sort of. At least I was there. All right? This podcast, this show, me as a person, as a man, I am about results. Results are my religion, baby. And you might think, well, Dave goes on a show all the time and he fucking talks a bunch of shit, tells stories about splitting his pants all day, and then that's it. Then he goes home. No, 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 no. I'm here to solve problems. I have a solution. Under no circumstances. I don't care what. Children must go to school with other children. This must happen. And I know what you're saying. You're saying, but Dave, I can't do that because I send my child to school and he comes back saying that he's a girl boy thing and a racist and a giraffe. Well, maybe get involved in your child's schooling. I don't have to worry about this because nobody wants my pee-pee. I mean, that's another show topic. I'll get back to you on that. But it's the social lesson, the social contract, the social ritual that humans need to have under their belt. And I think that's tremendously important, even if now it's never been easier to be a social delinquent like Dave, you know, just a complete alien fringe of society living, barely see the sun. Like, you can live like that, But you can also survive in a closet if you really want, like you can, you know, it's not good for you or anything, but it's possible, I suppose. But kids need to go to school. Even if you're homeschooling, it should be in some kind of, I don't even know about that, to be honest with you. Because yeah, I know. Oh, the public schools are quality of schools, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. All right. I got you. But again, it's not about what they're learning. It's about participating in the dance, in the human dance. And that human dance is more important now than it ever has been, because you don't have to be human at any other time other than then. Right? And here is how I fix things. No phones. If a student takes out a cell phone, they are killed immediately. Now, at first, this new policy may raise some eyebrows, but in time, people will understand that I'm serious. And here's why. Part of that social dance is fucking up, just like anything else. Just like learning a new skill, just like learning a dance, let's say, right? You learn the steps, you trip over your feet all the time, and then after a while, you start to get it, and you start to move to the music, and you start to find your rhythm like Steve Martin in The Jerk, you know? Just like that, exactly like that. And, you know, it may take a while, but you'll get it eventually. And now everybody's got a phone. Everybody's a fucking journalist, crime reporter. Everybody's lowest fucking lane all the time, right? And I can't imagine what it's like to be young, to be in school and to fuck up and have it, you know, recorded in 4K, glorious 4K high definition. So no phones. Phones are outlawed upon pain of death in the School of Dave. Some may see some parallels to, re-education camps. But I mean, in a manner of speaking, that's exactly what they are. They're not re-education camps, education camps. That's all. That is all. Yeah, so let kids fuck up. All right, let them have the freedom to. And let them observe, let them be social. Don't take that away from them, because we've already taken away so very much. Why is it that I, Dave, who has no children, therefore cares for this world not, or the future generation, why am I the one solving these problems? Shouldn't you be more upset about this than me? I think so. Maybe don't be so selfish. And as for kids and what they're learning, with YouTube alone, and I'm curious as to how interesting a curriculum could be, just plucked from you. I bet a teacher could make a rad fucking year of school just plucking really cool, you know, historical documentaries or whatever from YouTube, and just saying, yeah, just watch this. Hey, class, today we're going to watch this, and then we're going to read the, if there's time left over, we're going to read the comments and read some arguments about which member of BTS is the cutest. Is that a thing? Is that the name? I know there's like three letters, and then there's a B in there somewhere. Those Korean girls or whatever, they're boys. What, boys, girl? I don't know anymore. I just see him, and I'm like, what is it? I don't know. I don't know. It's to the point where I just do the Crocodile Dundee test whenever I see somebody. If I'm within palming distance of anyone, they get the croc test. That's it. Call me old fashioned. I don't know. I don't have time anymore to sort through this. Let's just cut to the hurly burly. You get the croc test. That's all. And then we'll go from there. Atomic Disaster Theater, episode 146. Sitting here, on another lovely, lovely, lovely Sunday show, glorious Sunday show, failure. The Sunday stench of Sunday. End of the week. You know, it's like you had a really rough week. Work probably sucked. Or no, wait, if you're normal, you're going back to work tomorrow. So your weekend is dying. And you're like, oh man, I got to go back to work tomorrow morning. That really sucks. I'm not looking forward to that. Oh, Dave did another show. Great. Just what I wanted. So yeah. So there is that. Sorry. But I'm not here reimagining re-education camps all by my lonesome. Heavens to Betsy Nosies. Sitting directly to my left, looking irredeemably arithmetical, looking totalitarianly tuitionless. He is the man of the hour, the tower of power. He'll devour toddlers. He's the one, the only, the immortal. Count Dracula, what it is, Count. What it is and what it will be. The floor is yours. Sweep it.
Good evening. It's very good to be here today, Dave. I have a question for you.
You have a question for me every week. It's your Ask Dave segment.
It was about something you brought up in your monologue that I don't know what you meant. Could you clarify it, please?
You know, Drac, look, buddy, I don't want to do this on the air, but we kind of have to have a talk. You get a single question every single episode. You simply cannot stress me out like this. Because I come to play each and every week. I don't know where you're coming from with your Ask Dave questions. You assault me from all angles here. I got to be on my guard. And then you want to butter me up, I guess, with all these other questions. This distraction technique, I don't appreciate that.
Well, here's what happens, right? I spend all week thinking of a question to ask you for my segment, the only time on the show where I get to talk because you like to ramble and go on and on and on about bullshit that nobody cares about.
That was hurtful, but continue.
Okay, but then, during the course of your monologue, you will say things that I don't understand because they don't make any kind of sense. So I just would like to clarify so I can tell you how wrong you are about any given subject.
All right, I'll take your bait, Count. What's your question? How can I clarify? We are a little bit highbrow. And sometimes clarifications need to be made for those of less erudite aims. Go ahead. What do you got?
You mentioned something, the croc test? What's that?
The Crocodile Dundee test.
Yes, that's it. But what's that?
Well, if it pleases the court, may I bring up Exhibit C, I guess? I don't know which one it was, but it was, I think it was Crocodile Dundee. I think it was the first one where Crocodile Dundee goes to, you know, America, big come up there, from Australia, land of 1,000 hazards. Okay. And so he's in America. And he's at a bar and he's talking to a woman, we'll say. And then things are going well. And then somebody, his friend or his cab driver, I don't know, his friend pulls him aside and is like, hey, man,
That's a girl. Dressed. No, wait, I'm sorry. He pulls Crocodile on the aside and he says, "Hey, man, I know that looks like a girl, but that's a guy. You're talking to a guy." And then Crocodile Dundee turns around and he's like, "That one? But it's wearing a dress. And it's got the hair thing. And it's got the makeup thing." And then the guy's like, "Hey, I know. It's weird. It's confusing. And it's like 1984 on top of that. But believe me when I tells you, that right there is a guy. Just, you know, look, you do you. It's New York City, all right? We're wild here. You do whatever. But just so we're clear on this." And Mick's like, "All right, good on you. Thanks." And then he goes back to the girl, question mark, and then he just immediately grabs its crotch. And everybody cheers. And something tells me, I don't know if people would cheer that way today. I'm going to guess it's 50-50. Probably.
"Dave, do you mean to tell me that you just said in your monologue that anyone that gets within grabbing distance of you, you're going to grab their crotch?"
"Yes. But for purely social reasons. Because I do not have the time to sort out the educational system while I'm worrying about if these adorable Korean boys or girls from this band are like what they are, what's going on with them. I don't have the time. I can't deal with this right now."
"You realize that not only is that highly illegal, it's also monstrous."
"Okay. But look, I'm telling everybody. Like, look, I don't have time. If I have any doubt, if I have any questions, I'm just going to do the croc test. That's it. This is my warning. So just stay outside. All right, let's see. What's a safe distance? We'll say 2 feet. Three. I'll give you 3 feet. Anyone who encroaches within croc test radius subliminally agrees, legally, of course, to be croc tested.
"I don't think that's how it works."
"No, I said it. It's on recording. I've warned everyone. This is my truth, see? Because I believe that the world should cater to me and my fucked up thoughts. You see, that seems to be all the rage these days. So why doesn't that work for me, Count? How come people can't live their life around my special rules? I want to get on this liberal train. I really do. I want to start reaping the gruesome benefits of having the world tiptoe dance around my fucking feelings.
You're getting upset, Dave, and you're sweating more than normal."
"Yeah, I think so. Count, you know what? I may have to give you a credit. I mean, were you just within 3 feet of me? I think,
no, I was outside. I have handy dandy measuring tape right here. See, 3 feet.
Fair enough. Anyway, enough of this raw sexual tension, Count. Do you have a question for me? Do you have an honest-to-goodness real question for me? Because you're driving me crazy over here.
Okay, I have a question for you. Let me prepare for my segment.
Well, before you do, I think I dropped something here on the floor. I think that's a scratch-off ticket. You want to grab that for me, Count? I think that might have fallen out of your cloak, actually.
What? But that's not mine.
Are you sure? I could have sworn that scratch-off ticket fell out of your cloak. I just saw it. Here, just reach near my chair and grab that for me. I mean, it's yours, right?
Well, I mean, no. I mean, yes, actually, I think I did buy a scratch-off ticket at the lotto last night. Let me just reach down and grab.
I was within 3 feet. I was well within my rights. Stop crying. It just makes me want it more. Are you gonna bring the whole show to a stop? Jesus, this fucking guy over here. Now he's gonna get all shy. And just so you listeners at home know if Count passed the croc test or not. I'm still not sure. There was like nothing there, to be honest with you. Are you composed now, Count?
Can I still keep the scratch off?
No, give me that. Anyway, ask me a question. Pull yourself together and ask me a goddamn question.
It's time for Ask Dave, when I, Count Dracula, get to ask you, Dave. So cold.
Oh, God, with the cold. Yes, you're dead. Of course you're cold. Of course. Can we get back? All right, I'll tell you what. You sit there. Maybe I'll make you some hot cocoa or something. You can, you know, calm down a little bit. I'll just keep going with the show. You can get back to me with your ass, Dave, once you've had a nice cry. Jesus. And again, just follow the rules. 3 feet. 3 feet. Thank you. My truth. Thank you. I got something yesterday, and I want to talk to you about it. I don't really have much to say, but the new Dungeons and Dragons, well, not new, because it's not really new. I am very excited for this because Wizards of the Coast came out with a Spelljammer box set, question mark, slipcase, question mark. I don't know what to call this exactly, but it's reminiscent of the days where you would buy a brand spanking new D&D world, and they would come in these awesome box. It was like a box set. It had like maps and sometimes posters and extra goodies and stuff like that. And it came with like a couple of different books on the different lands in the realm, and a lot of the different worlds had like their own kind of themes and whatnot. And every place was a little different. Every place had that kind of flair. Like it was so cool. What was it? They never really did much with it, which is a shame because I think it was one of the early ones. I don't know. I don't remember. But it was for, I believe, Mystara. I think it was the Glantry Kingdom of Magic box set. Because I believe Mystara had a couple of box sets. I think they had Karamikos, which was all right. It was like a frontier kind of kingdom. So there was like a lot of opportunity, I guess. But Glantry fucking ruled. Glantry was so great. And I think Glantry was one of those settings where it came out ahead of its time. Like if they would have just kind of held out a couple of years, it would have been much bigger than it was. Cause Glantry was fucking incredible. What they did was, Glantry and Glantry City in particular was Harry Potter before Harry Potter, right? In Glantry City, wizards were considered nobles. And if you could cast spells, if you knew magic, you were like awarded great social prestige and social status. And specializing was like Trey Sheik, you know what I mean? So a lot of the wizards would specialize and just go full bore. Like necromancers would dress all goth and whatnot.
and look like Count Dracula minus the weeping baby tears and stuff like that. And it was just the more ostentatious and flamboyant, the better. They even had a skill in Glantry called Spellcraft, I believe. No, Spell Flash, not Spellcraft. Spellcraft is a normal skill, but Spell Flash. So you would roll a Spell Flash before you would do a spell. And like the higher you would roll on your spell, well, I guess it would be the lower because in second edition you wanted to roll under your, I don't know, whatever. The better you would roll on your Spell Flash roll, the more like dramatic your casting of this, like it's like a performance, which was so fucking cool. And in so Glantry City, it was pretty much like, I swear Harry Potter is a fucking ripoff of Glantry City. It was so fucking cool. And they took the, so Glantry is like a, it's like a mashup of 7th C and Harry Potter, because they took the real, like they took real European nations and made them D&D races, kind of, right? So like you had, there was like two different kinds of elves. There was like Belkadiz elves, which were like Spanish kind of elves, like Spain, you know, but they were elves. And you had Alban, which was like Germany. And then you had, what was it? Novel Averone, I think, was like the France, you know? So you had, you know, all these different nations and stuff. And it was so fucking cool. It was so neat. And so you had, it was like a city where the mages were the aristocracy, and the whole city was like powered by magic. So you had like continual light, like on all the lanterns or whatever in the city. So there was like magic light throughout the city, and you had like ice elementals to like cool place, like air conditioning or whatever. But there was like a trapped ice elemental or whatever in a business somewhere. It was just so neat and so different. And like clerical magic was like outlawed because in Glantry City, like there was only one god, Rad, the god of magic. Like every other god was like outlawed or illegal, or I forget. But Rad was like short for Radiance, like the Radiance, which was like the pool of magic, the well of magic in the world. They called it the Radiance. So the god of magic, they called him Rad. Not Rad like, whoa, cool, man. But, you know, Radiance, which I guess is pretty rad cool, if you ask me. It's pretty cowabunga, if you ask this hep dude right here. But Glantry ruled. And I'm sorry, this wasn't supposed to be about Glantry, but I guess now it is. I guess. Yeah, it was really, really cool. And they had like their, what was it? I forgot what it was called, but they had like a Transylvanian equivalent, which had like a huge undead problem, obviously. So yeah, it was, Glantry was great. So they used to come out with these box sets. They don't do that anymore. Now they would just do a book. They would be like, I'm sorry, I've had to burp for like the past 3 minutes. It's been just like making its way up, kind of my rib cage, I guess, taking the long way. And then finally it was birthed in my face. Count, are you, he's still shaking. This may take a while for him to cobble together his shattered psyche. But anyway, so they don't do box sets anymore. They used to do books. So like the most recent one was Van Richten's Guide to Ravenloft, which is like Ravenloft in a book, I guess, which is cool, but not the same. I miss those old goddamn box sets. So out of nowhere, Wizards of the Coast is like, hey guys, guess what? Spelljammer. What the fuck, right? Let's do it. Now, Spelljammer, as I said a couple of episodes ago, it's Dungeons and Dragons in outer space. Don't ask me how. Don't ask me why. I never played it. My DM never played it. I don't know anybody who's ever played it. I just know it's D&D in space, and it's weird, and it's goofy. That's all I know, right? So to start doing, so what it is, it's like, it's three hardcover books, a screen,
in like a gorgeous fucking slipcase. So it's kind of like a box set, kind of not, but you get my drift. Now, I am all for this. I bought it. I have it. I'm looking right at it. I bought it not because I have an interest in Spelljammer, mind you. It's more like a morbid freak curiosity. But I want this to succeed because I want them to do other ones. It kind of pains me that they did Ravenloft before this. I would have loved a Ravenloft slipcase thing like this. Now, I very much, I kind of applaud yet question leading with Spelljammer. Like, if this is where they're going to go, and I mean, I guess I shouldn't think too much on it because it's Wizards of the Coast. They kind of run shit. So even if it's kind of not financially successful, so it's Wizards of the Coast. It's not like they're going to go under or anything, right? They're, come on. So I guess I shouldn't worry about that. But I would have thought if they were going to go back to kind of like the box set Tish route, that they would open with like Forgotten Realms, their big fucking boring, most popular campaign setting. Don't ask me why. I think it's boring and sucks and is generic as fuck all, but whatever. That's what people like. So again, like, I get it. It's a business. Lead with a surefire win, and then you can get more ballsy kind of down the line with other releases. But to lead with Spelljammer, that's curious. That takes some fucking guts. And like, if I can quote a film, guts is enough. So sure, I'll buy it. I'll check it out. Also, it was $40? You mean to tell me you're going to sell me 3 hardcover books and a screen in a gorgeous slipcase for $40? Okay, so here we are. I haven't opened it. I haven't even looked inside of it, to be quite honest with you. I'm going to savor it because that excitement, like I was talking about the excitement of getting a new console, it's that all over again. It's Dave bringing home a fucking D&D box set. There is a world in here. New worlds to explore. New people to give the crocodile test to. Countless crocs. Dwarves and halflings and elves all needing to be sexed by curious hands. So I'm very much looking forward to checking this out. Now, do I think it's going to be good? No, because if they drop the price to $40 before the shit's even released, that to me says they're expecting a huge, huge bomb. And they're just trying to get the fuck rid of them because they know they made a terrible mistake. I don't know, but that's what I think. Now, when I think, if somebody was to sit down and say, Dave, you like D&D box sets, right? And you like different Dungeons and Dragons worlds, correct? I would say yes. And now the salesperson would say, well, Dave, what if I were to tell you that I have an idea that is very different? I promise you, it's something you have not seen. And it's a Dungeons and Dragons campaign setting. What would you think about that? I would go, I'm listening. And then the guy would put his hands up in the air like he's unraveling some giant present. And he would say, think about it, Dave. Dungeons and Dragons in outer space. And then he would slowly turn back to me and find I would be gone and my chair would be swinging around in a lazy circle. Because that, my friends, is a fucking stupid idea. But I thought about it. And I never really bothered much to care. As soon as I heard D&D in space, I checked out. I was like, I'm not interested. I'm sorry. I don't care. I don't care about this. But now that I'm old and I miss fun, I miss fun things is what I miss. If they're going to go into Dungeons and Dragons in space, and if they're going to try to seriously sell me that this is cool, probably a bad idea. But if they're going to go into this kind of tongue in cheek and make it like sort of bright and happy and a little goofy, I'm willing to play along. I think there's room for that. I would, for instance, I would love a D&D setting where it was more like, instead of like doing like the kind of more serious Lord of the Rings type shit, if it was more fairy tale, like we're going to do a D&D realm where it's all about the stories and all the races are like way more fairy tale as opposed to the same old kind of, you know, dwarves, elves, blah, 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 shit that we've seen 900, you know, small people with big feet nonsense that we've seen for the past 107 years. Mix it up. Give me some different flavors because that's what the campaign settings are all about. So if Spelljammer comes at me in that spirit, I'm going to give it a great amount of leeway. But if you're going to really try to sell me that this is like serious and legit, first I'm going to sneeze directly in your mouth and then I'm going to tell you, bad idea. Probably a really, really bad idea. So we will see and I'll get back to you. I'm really curious. I'm very curious actually to see how this goes. But for $40, before it was even released, a price drop like that, not boding well. Not really boding well. But hey, interesting choice. I hope they do more since they're leading with Spelljammer. I know they don't mind giving a little love to less popular settings. So could we see a Birthright around the corner? I would fucking love that. Or a Glantry City? Doubtful. Very doubtful that they do Glantry. But Jesus Christ, I would lose my fucking mind if they did. That would be so awesome. So it's exciting. It's an exciting time because this is a very interesting move. So we'll see. We'll see where that goes. All right. You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna blow my nose right now. And I'm going to give the count a minute to kind of pull himself together, you know, maybe I'll like wrap a warm towel around him or something. And just kind of, cause he looks like he's not shaking as much as he was, you know? So I'll be back. Oh boy. Okay. We're back. Count, are you ready to go so we can end this episode? We've been waiting on you literally for ages. How long could it possibly take to get over a little bit of sexual abuse? Come on, man.
I'm sorry, Dave. I don't want to ruin the show. So I will hunker down and try to give you my ask, Dave.
Could you up the spirit a little bit?
I'm trying. It's time for Ask Dave. Then I count Dracula to ask you, Dave, any fun question that you censor completely and totally honestly.
Why are you sounding like Cartman?
Dave. Are you going to watch the Game of Thrones prequel thing with the dragons?
Oh my God, Count. That was the worst question Let me try to help you. Let me try to help you speak English, all right? I know you're new here. Are you asking me, Count, in your own carefree way, if I'm going to watch this atrocious, awful House of the Dragon show, the Game of Thrones prequel thing? That's what you mean?
Precisely.
Well, judging from my short but sweet summary of it, no, of course not. Of course not. I mean, I'm just going to say the same thing I always say when Game of Thrones comes up. You know, speaking as somebody who's watched it from the first episode as it aired, mind you, I give no respect to you late bloomers who hopped on board. No, not at all. I remember way back when I was sitting in an oil change place, getting the oil changed in my car at the time, and they had a TV on, and it was playing like a behind or like a sneak peek for the new HBO show Game of Thrones. And I was like, that looks weird. That looks pretty interesting. And then it was like a little featurette, I think is what they used to call it. And yeah, I was like, oh, that's cool. I'll watch that. So I told my friend about it. And I would go over his place and we would watch it like every week when it first aired. And yeah. Game of Thrones was cool up until it turned into Dungeons and Dragons adventure. Then it got awful. And people were like, what's the deal with the last season of Game of Thrones? Excuse me. Excuse you. The show's been barreling downhill for seasons upon seasons. I always say I can pinpoint the exact moment where the show got dumb. Where Sam is in the middle of the snowy wasteland and then all the fucking zombies ride by him at a very leisurely pace, I might add. I was like, this show is slipping. And then it just destroyed itself. Way, way, way before the last season, by the way. It was going down in quality way before then. Anyway, no, the House of the Dragon, I do not care. I'm not interested. I don't care. I don't know if, I think this guy could release like the next book tomorrow, and I really don't think it would be that big a deal. Though I think it would be hysterical if after all this time, after all this wait, after all this delay, the guy releases the book and it's just exactly what happens in the show from here on out, like to the point where the dialogue is the same. That's what I would do. I would just pull a big fuck you on everybody because I think it's cheating because it's like the guy started this story. He wrote, I don't know, four or five books of monstrous girth, something that the Count knows perilously little about, if my croc test was any indication anyway. And, so he writes these massive books, they pick up the show, they start doing the show, they run out of books to do episodes on, so they start fucking freewheeling it, I guess, and just making it up as they go along, and they finish the story before the author actually finishes his story, which to me is a pretty shitty thing to do because, like, the author can say, all right, well, what didn't the audience like about the ending? And how can the legit official ending fix it so that I don't get the same backlash that the showrunners got when they fucked up all my stories, right? And I think that's cheating. I think that the official ending of Game of Thrones isn't, no, I'm sorry. The TV show beat you to the punch, guy who writes books. So that's the canon ending. And you're just doing fan fiction at this point. I know that might sound weird being that he created it, but that is how I feel on the matter. Cause it's too easy now. It's too easy to just write, well, okay, well, this is how they did it. Now I'm going to do it different because you know how people react to the end of this. It's just stupid. Who cares? I think the best thing he could do is to just say, you know what? I'm done with this story. I'm not going to finish it. I'm going to go write something else and just go start something else. Why the fuck not? Because I don't know. I just feel like it's just going to be anticlimactic and nobody's going to give a shit. The time for people to care is kind of over. And then them doing this House of the Dragon nonsense. I mean, look, all right, fine. If you want to spend billions and billions of dollars on this show, be my guest. I don't think it's going to do well. I don't think the Amazon Lord of the Rings thing is going to do. I don't even care. I don't give a shit about Lord of the Rings. I hate Lord of the Rings, actually, if I'm being honest with you. But yeah, so what? I think they're going to spend a whole bunch of money and it's just going to be a big, it's not even going to be like huge backlash. I don't even see it like Lord of the Rings fans getting pissed. I just see it like, meh, whatever, which is kind of worse. It's like all that money, all that wasted time, all that, you know, big bloated production budgets and shit like that. Just imagine how many hungry children could be fed with what they're going to spend on a fucking Lord of the Rings show. That's going to probably suck and just kind of puke itself out into the ether and just be forgotten. You know, oh well, I mean, whatever. Maybe, you know, with the money they spent on the Lord of the Rings show and the House of the Dragon show combined, they could build Dave's re-education camp for children. Uncle Dave's Home for Wayward Children, we'll call it. And then in parentheses, in very, very, very small writing, no cell phones under penalty of death. Scholastically speaking, of course.